such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. On a sad day in Chicago, it's a sad day in Chicago, but everywhere. I was thinking first and foremost about the officer who was killed 2 days ago, Paul Bauer. Not thinking first and foremost, but that was on my mind yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then this, and it was almost ironic, I don't know, when you think of what we were speaking about yesterday on the radio, and then just an hour later, the news was breaking about this violence, the killing in Florida, on Ash Wednesday, of all days. You know, any day is a bad day, but I was saying last night at the Mass, because you certainly couldn't get this out of your mind, and it begs a lot of questions again, because this is all too frequent in our society. Certainly in this nation, it almost seems that it's rather unique to our nation. So it does beg some serious questions about what has gone awry, what has happened. But I was thinking, you know, as we went into the Mass last night, that, you know, of course it was Ash Wednesday, and so we imprint the ashes on the forehead, and what do we say? But remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Turn away from sin, be faithful to the gospel. And I was wondering if any of those students may have been to Mass, you know, and had those ashes imprinted on their forehead and those words, remember you are dust and to dust you shall return. And then to think that within hours or within a short course of a day or half a day, or, you know, that they, in fact, this would be a reality. You know, it's and in fact, you know, one of the pictures, did you see that?
I saw it, yes.
Yeah, it was a mother holding her daughter, I think it was, and she had the ashes on her forehead. It just, I don't know, what do you think? Welcome everybody to the Winds of Change. Certainly I'm Father Anthony, and as always, I'm your brother. I take these words from St. John as he opens the book of Revelation. Again, nothing new under the sun, but I'm your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. And maybe therein lies the answer to the issues we're dealing with in our nation, in our country, in the world. But I mean, we have a unique nation with a unique history, and I want to speak a little bit about that, I suppose, as well in the course of this hour. But it just really begs a lot of questions. But distress, always been, always will be, this side of death. As I say so often, we're not condemned to be here forever. We're lovers of life. We're committed to life. I would hope we are, you know, because part of the, a bit of the issue is, you know, what has happened to, the character values and the sanctity of life. Because aside from this incident, this certainly this young man had some very, very serious problems, demented in many ways, mentally ill. I mean, I was reading a little bit about his life this morning, and very sad, you know, in many ways very sad. But again, that there's no justification for what he did. And would somebody in another time, in another era, I'm thinking about when I was a child, which wasn't that long ago, I mean, when you consider the whole of history, sure. Yeah. But what a different world. Mm-hmm. What a different world.
I don't even think that when I was in college or high school and college, so it was 20-some years ago, we didn't have those school shootings.
Even
at
then,
that point,
you know, I can't believe then, you're saying 20 years ago. Christine, I keep thinking of you as being 26 wow. years old or more or less, you know, but you're way beyond that, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
but you're still very young. But even then,
you didn't hear about those shootings.
Because I'll tell you, so I met you when I came here as an associate, and so that was 27 years ago. And so you were in high school.
I was in high school. The
first time I saw her, she was playing the drums in the at the school concert. I went to the concert, actually for somebody from another mm-hmm. parish, Michelle.
They were in the choir.
Her choir. She was in the choir, so I went to see her. But I had just been assigned here, and I meet your parents there, and they say, "Oh, they're there because," and I had already met them here at the parish because their beloved daughter, a senior in high school, I think at the time, was in the band playing the drums. You know,
punishing those drums,
like Karen Carpenter. You know? Yes. But anyway, so I'm saying, you know, like even in the 27 years that I'm here in this parish, or the 33 years that I'm a priest, the world is radically mm-hmm. different from the time I was ordained a priest, from the mm-hmm. time I came here. And of course, at that time, there was a lot of violence
sure.
in the neighborhood. There was a lot of gang violence and all that. But something has been lost in the, you know, in the midst of all that. And I learned to understand a little bit of where that was coming from. Not going to go into all that. And again, there's no justification for it, but you can see the root cause of it. But nonetheless, we had a community, a neighborhood. You know, we had retreat days. The place, the gym was packed. The cafeteria would be packed. We had, you know, 300-plus students in the CCD, in the religious ed program. Mm-hmm. I remember having mass in the gym. Anytime we had novenas, you know, the church was full for the, not quite full, but certainly for the feast days it was
sure.
full. But for the novena, we had at least a half a church mm-hmm. where people would come every night, all mm-hmm. those 9 days for prayer. So there was this sensitivity to the faith and to God and to values and principles. And people were very much disturbed by the violence mm-hmm. in the neighborhood and other issues. But I think this is part of the thing that this is something that bothers me to no end, and I say it so often. I don't know if I say it on the radio. I think I perhaps I do, but I know it comes through a lot in the homilies and in my letters and all that. And that is that we're losing our sensitivity to God, to the things of God, all things sacred, and therefore we lose our sensitivity to sin. You know. So I'm saying that, you know, this, and of course, all the news outlets and all that are commentaries are being made. You know, what could have been done to prevent this? What's the problem? But I don't hear people really addressing the real issue. So I'm asking the question of myself. Take this young man, 19 years old, who had a very difficult life. He was orphaned. He was adopted. Both his parents, his adopted parents, have both died. Nobody knows. We don't know, you know, really what preceded the adoption. I'm assuming he was adopted as a very small child. But anyway, But I'm just saying that take that same life and take it back 40 years or 30 years, would he have chosen to do what he did, you know, in a different ambiance, a society that was I don't know. I'm asking the questions. I pulled out a lot of things sure. here that I want to share with you.
You know, my dad was also an orphan. He lost his parents when he was very young, and other people too that have had rough lives, and he never hurt. People didn't do those things years ago.
Right. And yeah, and you know, even
like you're saying,
mentioning yeah. The fact that he was an orphan doesn't. There's something was wrong uh-huh. in his head, no doubt. Yeah. But there's no justification. No. I just say that in a different time, in a different time. Place, would some because okay. So let's go back a little. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go back sure. to that time. You know, to your time, Christina. You're what 20 years younger than I am. You know.
Yes, so I was 21 when I started working here, and I'm already
right. So
40,
I was 31, maybe. I don't know. I was anyways. I would have been 41. But
I was 21 once.
You were 20. We were all
21
but,
once.
But go back.
Forever 21.
It's forever 21.
Let's go back.
Yeah, those were the 20s.
Were the best.
Yeah, you those were good times.
Dream yeah, dreams times. And you know, but the. But my gosh, you know, and when I was a kid, mm-hmm. really. We walked to school. We'd go to school. So I read this some time uh-huh. ago, and I know I've mentioned this maybe yes. years ago, but in the 1950s and the 1960s, or at least up to the mid or late 60s, the major problems in schools.
And this is interesting. I'm going to be sure. This.
Yes.
The major problems. I was reading the major yeah. problems that called for disciplinary action were spitballs, chewing gum, mm-hmm. running in the corridor, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things.
Or being late.
Mm-hmm. Or being late, missing your homework. Mm-hmm. The dog ate the homework, whatever.
Or passing out notes in class.
Passing notes in class. Those were the major, major problems.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Today, and now this has already been for years, but here in Chicago, you know, you have to have, they've got metal detectors in most of the high schools, as far as I know, in the public high schools. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I remember, and I've brought this up before too. This was a few years ago. One of our teachers. We have a lot of teachers in the parish, but she teaches in a high school here in the city, and not too far from here. Mm-hmm. And she brought me the neighborhood paper because in Chicago, every neighborhood mm-hmm. has a paper. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, you know, and so their neighborhood paper had, you know, every day. Always write about, you know, the police beat, what's going mm-hmm. on, mm-hmm. and how many times the police were called in to that school in the course of 1 week, and in a number of those cases, it was violence against the teachers
yes.
by the students.
Yes.
By the students. Mm-hmm. And that was unheard of in our day. I mean, you had, and this is part of the problem, I mean, we're getting into another thing, but we had utmost respect for our teachers. We had a certain mm-hmm. good fear mm-hmm. of our teachers, you know. I don't know. That was then.
Mm-hmm. Those were the days.
Those were the days, my friend.
Those were the days, my friend. Yeah. I'm just...
What do you think?
I don't want to speak because I'm angry. I'm really... Two things initially have set me off today. And I just don't know. I mean, these things are, wasn't it just Las Vegas we were talking about?
Absolutely.
And now here we are again. But in this respect, it's children, okay? I'm feeling, that's why I'm trying to control myself. I feel Jerry channeling.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. But the thing that's bothering me, the two things that
you're
are
crazy,
bothering me.
You know, yeah. You're crazy.
The two things
well,
that
he's
really,
sitting in her seat.
Exactly. So, the two things that really bother me is the first thing they're talking about is gun control. Right off the bat. And again, because I follow, I pay attention, I'm no longer sitting back, you know, wondering. I'm actively searching information. That and the fact that somebody had mentioned, and I remember where I was listening to, where people were saying, well, my prayers go out to you. And the first thing they have to say is, what are prayers going to do? prayers aren't.
Sure.
It bothers me. It's in a sense attack of what I believe. But I'll go back to the gun control thing. This is not an issue of gun control anymore. This is not an issue of mental health, really. It's an issue of we're killing ourselves when we go through life PC like this. Mm. I think to myself, you know, my gosh, we can't say certain things, or the buzz now is, okay, we should be talking about this and talking about that. But I like the conversation we were having yesterday and the conversation that is the thing that is never said. Where have we come? We're at a point now where the solutions aren't about guns and the problem started long time ago.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, who would ever think somebody could have the freedom to come into a school with a high powered rifle like that and start killing people? Where were the people? And then I was thinking about this also. Okay, think about any school. If there's no one on the premises that has any kind of gun themselves, how can you stop someone that's going to cause havoc like this?
So let me ask you, Tony, you say high-powered rifle. When you say that, and again, I just want to, because I was hearing this morning, because I don't know enough about guns and all that. You know,
the little bit I was hearing, too. Yeah.
And so I was wondering myself, why, mm-hmm. how is it that people have access to this kind of weaponry. Now, I heard this morning that actually, you know, machine guns mm-hmm. are outlawed. You can't have a machine gun. So what constitutes a high-powered rifle? So by the way, this is Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about these things. So I think many of us may be, but again, we don't want to politicize it. But Chicago is, what is it? The laws in Chicago don't permit, right? The carrying of guns, is that right?
Yeah, there's a conceal and carry. You can carry, but you have to.
But we've got some of the strictest gun laws in the nation, right?
And the funny thing is, all these people can get the guns. So
this is one of the most violent cities in the nation, and the criminals have the gun. They have access to the guns, and so people rightfully feel the need to protect themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, I think. But
and to be honest, even a handgun is a dangerous gun. But, I even think about going back to the Las Vegas thing. He had all these rifles. Did not someone see them coming in? This is a different situation. We're talking a school. But, I mean, again, a school. Think of any school. How does one not see? And again, I've heard something about the police and how they don't have the ability to see these things and act on them. There's laws that you can't do that. Looking at a website, looking at something like that. Again, this I can't believe this goes on for so long and you don't have an inkling of, okay, well, maybe something bad can happen. How do we prevent it? And the prevention for me is like, okay, well, take away their guns? No.
Yeah, that's a whole. That's a whole other issue. I remember back when we had the, how many funerals, gang funerals I had where the young people.
And see, that's another thing that bothers me because again, the politicians. Okay, you want to play this game now? Let's take this opportunity. Let's talk gun control again. Let's say, okay, you can't have this. You can't have this. Okay, well, what's the solution? You take away all the guns. Do you think this stuff is not going to happen? It's gonna happen.
Well, and that's what I was saying. Yeah. We've got the strictest, from what I understand, gun laws in the nation.
Yeah.
Among the strictest, and yet one of the most violent nations, one of the most violent cities in the nation. And I go back to when we had these gang funerals, and I had quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. And the gangbangers were in the church, armed. I mean, you didn't see it, but they had it on. I mean, this is what everybody
before conceal and carry.
Sure. Yeah. So that's a whole nother question, but I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I found it very interesting, the reading for the day. Today is the second day of Lent, and so I was looking this morning at the readings for the day. I have Mass this evening, and the reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah is really a mind-opener, And so we'll take a break, we'll come back, and then, because again, this killing again begs the question, what has happened to our nation? Because these are horrific situations, but I tell you, and I'm back in the confessional, mm-hmm. and for a longer period of time, rather than a few minutes, but for a good period of time, and you know, there's what we're dealing with here is horrific. Shouldn't be. It is a reality, but the stuff that's happening in people's lives,
right,
in their families, this shouldn't be. I say again, you know, we're passing through a diabolical disorientation. Everything is upside down, and we'll take the break. We'll come back and listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says, and apply that. Let's apply this to our nation, our country, much of the West today, right now in our history. And this has been something that's been a problem. That's been growing for some time. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Newsflash! This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Alethea. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're asking the question, you know, what has happened, you know, in view of the, again, this mass killing that took place in Florida. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says, and then I've got a few other things I just pulled out. My aunt who lives in California sent me something a few days ago, and I just thought, wow, you know, this is something I want to bring up mm-hmm. on the show, because it kind of speaks to where I'm trying to go with this. But the prophet said, the prophet Jeremiah, Jesus, or rather, this is before the incarnation, but Jesus is not known yet. Mm-hmm. But thus is the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who does eventually reveal himself fully in Christ Jesus. But the Lord says, cursed is the man who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord, He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. That's the beginning. So I say, cursed is a nation who puts its trust in human beings, who seeks its strength in human flesh, who turns away from the Lord. That nation is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Now the reading goes on to say, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. And then it goes on to say, more torturous than all else is the human heart beyond remedy. Who can understand it? And so we're trying to understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
I, the Lord alone, probe the mind and test the heart, to reward everyone according to his ways, according to the merit of his deeds. So translate that into the nation, you know, because it's a societal problem, a societal sickness. And what I go back to when I was a kid, and I went to public school. I didn't go to Catholic school.
Catholic.
I went to public school, but well, let me just read this other thing. This is what my aunt sent me a few days ago. She it was one of these things where somebody sends it and they send it out.
Right.
But says, did you know that as you walk up the steps to the building which houses the United States Supreme Court, you can see near the top of the building a row of the world's lawgivers, and each one is facing one in the middle, who is facing forward with a full frontal view. It is Moses, and he's holding the Ten Commandments. Did you know, as you enter the Supreme Court courtroom, the two huge oak doors have the Ten Commandments engraved on each lower portion of each door? Did you know, as you sit inside the courtroom, you can see the wall right above where the Supreme Court judges sit, a display of the Ten Commandments? Did you know there are Bible verses etched in stone all over the federal buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C. Did you know James Madison, the fourth president, known as the father of our Constitution, made the following statement? He said, "We have staked the whole of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." Every session of Congress begins with a prayer by a paid preacher whose salary has been paid by the tax collector since 1777. 52 of the 55 founders of the Constitution were members of the established Orthodox churches in the countries, that means legitimate churches, in the colonies. Thomas Jefferson worried that the courts would overstep their authority and instead of interpreting the law, would begin making law an oligarchy, the rule of few over many. How then have we gotten to the point that everything we have done for 220 years in this country is now suddenly wrong and unconstitutional? Let's put it anyway. So that's I hope you get the point. The point is that
I'm outraged. We need to get rid of all of that because what's happening and what's working now is working, and none of that makes any sense.
None of it makes sense. None of it worked. You know? And people will point out. You know,
that's amazing.
The deviations in the course of the nation's history. Well, absolutely. There's always going to be, but we have. As I say, even in the church, you know, we can look down through history, and we can look at. I've said this many times, but when we reflect on our faith, when we look down through history, our point of reference, our personal reference, is not Judas Iscariot.
Mm-hmm.
We don't fixate on deviations, whether it be the Inquisition or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our fixation. Our personal reference is the incarnate God, Jesus Christ, you know, and Jesus in communion and union with the Father and the Holy Spirit and the whole communion of saints. We look at all the men and women down through the history who have heroically and courageously and humbly lived the faith. They are our heroes and heroines, and they are the point of reference for all of us. How they lived in their time, you know, and the challenges of their time, how they remained firm in faith, nurtured that faith, and therefore they were the leaven or the salt or the light in the darkness, as Jesus speaks about. What's happened in our nation is that this what they call revisionist history, mm-hmm. where there are, who are the powers behind this? It's a good question, right? Mm-hmm. The powers and the principalities that keep us fixated on all the dark, negative deviations from the moral foundation. God is a foundation, that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus, who keep us distracted from that moral base, that moral foundation upon which this nation was built. They keep us fixated on all the deviations, all the negative things, which, by the way, down through history, because we have a point of reference, a person of reference, we have the Ten Commandments, we were able to rectify, correct wrongdoing. You know, there's always going to be imperfection, mm-hmm. always. This is the whole hypocrisy of the time we're living in, you know, it's a whole other thing. Where on one hand, you know, we've come into a time where we give free rein to the flesh, no respect for authority, or it depends on who the authority is, who makes himself the authority, the mainstream media, the gods and goddesses of Hollywood, you know, all this stuff. But the so I go back. Certainly, you know, we talked about this yesterday, but the media, television, how there's been this progressive eroding of values and principles and family and men. You know, the father is the is a very significant and important and necessary part of the family unit. You know, the distinction, the beautiful distinction between man and woman and husband and wife, and how necessary they are for the well-being of the family. There's been, by way of the media, by way of sitcoms and movies, there's been this constant erosion. You know, all you have to do is go back and look at the old movies in the black and the white or whatever, and mm-hmm. and you see that, you know, that there was a time when this was a medium by which, you know, we would inculcate, teach values and principles. And I mean, my gosh, I think of, you know, that famous Christmas movie. What was that with Jimmy Stewart?
It's a Wonderful Life.
I mean, you think of, there's so many of these. Mm-hmm. But then something happened. There was a radical shift that began to emerge in the 1960s. I mean, the seeds were there. They've always been there because mm-hmm. we're in a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And so this is, but this great nation, something happened. And with the big revolution of the 60s, the sexual revolution, television, I mean, all the stuff, you think of the sitcoms, even back into the 70s, how they were already beginning to create a different narrative. And I remember, and I do remember, I say everything was different when I was in school, and it was, but you could already see when I was in high school, and I graduated in 1973, but already there was the beginnings of, well, it was not just the beginnings, because it had already begun in the 60s, you know, but it was almost, there was almost a source of pride and this applauding and celebrating any manifestation of disrespect mm-hmm. for authority, for teachers, for parents, for government. Again, is government perfect? No, it's flawed. Parents are flawed. teachers are flawed. You know, there is no perfection. The only perfection is God. That's why we have to be grounded in God, because God is the foundation upon which we build, upon which we built our life. Jesus said, you know, he said the foolish people, and we become a nation of fools, without a doubt, or at least enough have that they're driving the narrative. You know, they've created this the PC political correctness. You have to, as I said yesterday, as we were speaking about this yesterday, as Jesus couldn't openly go into the cities, we almost are forbidden to openly profess our faith because we're made fun of. Mm-hmm. As we saw the other day on the television, you know, this happens all the time, but the Vice President Pence, he's a very virtuous man. Now, from all that I can see, all that I've read, all that, you know, he's a very virtuous man. And the fact that he unapologetically professes his faith and he's made fun of, mm-hmm. even so much so that whoever that was, Amoroso, whatever her name it was, who said the other day that in a talk show or something that, you know, we think, she said, you think the president, Trump, is bad. She said, be careful because, and Trump has his rough edges, my gosh, you know, we don't want to get in, but you know, the man does love the country, there's no doubt about it, and he's trying to, with all his rough edges, he seems to have a grip on, you know, it seems to me, on the need for virtue and for faith and for God and nation and all this, and anyway, but you just mentioned it's gonna set up red flags, but Pence, mm-hmm. you know, she said, you think, you know, don't fear Trump, she said, fear Pence, because he's a man of God and Jesus speaks to him, mm-hmm. and he's, and then they go on as people are in the media, they're reflecting on this guy's got to be crazy.
My only question is, where do we have to sit and listen to what a nobody like this has to say? I'm sorry.
Well, it's...
I don't know if that's harsh, but again, you're not in government. I didn't... Why do I have to listen to this?
But the problem is, you're right about that, but the problem is they run the narrative. They they control the narrative. And so, you know, it's how is it that we've... So let me... Well, we take a break. Okay. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Don't let me forget my train of thought, because I want to say something about what was respectable, virtuous, what was the norm, mm-hmm. has become all of a sudden this sense of you're abnormal, mm-hmm. if you profess and live faith. It's anyway, we'll come back to that. Okay, so don't go away. We will be right back. And Father Anthony, you're listening to Listen Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church. is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Yeah, come back to Christ. Mm-hmm. As somebody said started the Mass yesterday, because we were all kind of reflecting on what had happened before the Mass, and somebody said, we refuse to bend our knee. Mm-hmm. And it's so true, you know. I had to pull this out this morning because I'm trying to, again, in my mind, I'm trying to think what has happened. Well, I feel like I know what has happened, mm-hmm. and I just said it. You know, Jesus said that, I said we're a nation of fools. Jesus said, but if we don't have any regard for Jesus, and his words mean nothing to many people mm-hmm. today, because, again, the narrative has been to demystify or to denounce or renounce all this is somehow man-made fantasy or whatever it might be, or that
get him out of the way,
mm-hmm. you know, because that's why he was crucified, because mm-hmm. he was the conscience of the people, so he bothered people's conscience. So we gotta silence him, get him out of the way, so that we have the freedom to move forward in the free reign of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
and
what
to do
we want,
power, greed, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. Do what we want. Yeah. Yeah.
My rights.
Everything.
See, I think a damn.
This is the foolish. Okay. Jesus said, the fools build on sand. Mm-hmm. He said, the rain comes, the wind blows, the house, it doesn't collapse. Because the fact is that, you know, okay, what happened in Florida happened. There's always going to be something. You know, mm-hmm. we this side of death, evil is ever present. But it shouldn't have the upper hand. And when it gets the upper hand, it has to be corrected. And it has to be corrected based on character values, moral principles, faith, the commandments of God, which are written into the hearts mm-hmm. of all people. So the foolish people build on sand. Jesus said the wise build on rock, and he's referring to himself. I'm the rock. You build on this rock, the rain comes, the wind blows, but the house or the nation, your life, you don't collapse. You know, you're going to survive. Will we survive if we do not return to the foundational principles of our nation, which is unique of most nations, because we're built on the foundation of the Ten Commandments. Now, people will even try mm-hmm. to dispute that, but it's as I just said, you know, it's written
it
all.
It. Yeah. It's all over.
But one of the things, go ahead. You were going to say.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. It seems that the people, you know. The bad, the people, there's people following them. You know, it's these fools that, you know, claim to be whatever, whether it's politicians or they have our best interest. It's a lot of people are following this instead of knowing their way back to God and knowing what is right. So we take a tragedy like this right now, and instead of really saying, okay, we've drifted away, you know, we've drifted away. This is not, you know, this has to start somewhere with us. Opposed to the sitting now and saying, well, you know, it's mental health. We have to throw more money at mental health. It's guns. We have to get rid of everybody's guns. I mean, people don't see this anymore.
That, again, it begs the question, right. You know, in another era, in another time, because there's always been people who are mentally ill. I mean, mm-hmm. we're physically, mentally, spiritually, psychologically. I mean, you know, we're Jesus says, I come not for the healthy, but for the sick.
Right.
Who of us can avoid sickness? Mm-hmm. You know, we all have a little bit of, I suspect, a little bit of psychological sickness, a bit of a spiritual sickness, a bit of certainly a physical sickness, mm-hmm. the pain of the soul. I mean, you know, this is all part of life. Mm-hmm. This is why, you know, we've got to, that's why God became man, you know, why he took on our flesh so that we would have, that he would be the point of reference, mm-hmm. the person of reference, and he would carry us through this. And so if we do that collectively speaking as a people, then, you know, those who suffer mental illness, would they resort to this kind of behavior? You see, we've opened the door mm-hmm. to all this. You think of what we have access to. Mm-hmm. We have access to, I mean, just the violence, violent videos, or the what are those, the video games, mm-hmm. the violence. The guts and the blood and the gore and all that stuff that is in our face, we put into our mind, people lust after this kind of stuff, obviously, otherwise it wouldn't be there, but it's there. Nobody can deny it. You don't even have to. I said yesterday, I think, you know, I rarely go to a movie now, but when you sit there and you have to look at all these other previews, it's like I cringe when I see that stuff. Now, that's just the violence, but then there's the whole free reign of the flesh, the whole sexuality that has no, you know, what is it, 50 Shades of Grey, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, we're exposed to all this stuff. And with no, or the vulgarity or whatever it might be. And then you wonder, well, what's wrong with our young people? What's wrong with them? Well, they're at an age of innocence, they're being exposed to all this, you use the word vile. I use that actually in the letter for the, you know, that I wrote for the Sunday. This was a few days ago, which is, we're not going to get into it today, but it's very appropriate for what we're talking about today as well. But we, you know, so we expose our young people, our children, to all this stuff, and we wonder that it's not going to have an effect on their psyche, you know, I say that the psychosexual development of a child has been so perverted, so distorted today. It's very, very sad. But again, you know, we talk about this as people of faith and trying to hold to principles and values and the commandments of God, and you know, we feel the need to protect and safeguard of marriage and family, knowing, of course, that we live in a world where there's a lot of brokenness. And but if we even speak about that, we're immediately, you know, we're called bigots, we're called hateful, we're called prejudicial, homophobic or xenophobic or whatever these, all these phobias, you know, that we're for.
Had them all.
You know, and yet, and that's so far from the truth. It's so far from the truth. I tell the people all the time, maybe I've said it here on the radio, but I say when I'm speaking to the people in the pews, I say, you know, I'm going to speak about these things, but we've all been affected. There's not anybody, any family that hasn't been affected by what is happening in the society already now for many, many years. And for the whole of the humanity, you know, for the whole of history to varying degrees. And so this isn't, you know, a pointing a finger and you know, being accusatory. Well, yeah, we have to look to a high standard. And when people tell me, and young people say this so often, you know, I don't need God, I don't need the commandments of God, I don't need the church, God, or if I have God, you know, God and I, we work it out our way. It's our way, and that's the kind of world we live in. Very self-centered. We've been nurturing or breeding narcissism, but let me go back to not go back, but let me go to this, because I had to pull this out, because again I'm asking myself, what is the difference? You know, there's a lot of difference, but we were formed in a different way when I was a child, and as I went back, I was a Boy Scout, and in those days, you know, this was, but it did change at some point. It changed. This was it was an honorable thing to be a Boy Scout, to go to church, to be to strive to be virtuous. This was respected. This was honorable. At some point, it became dishonorable, disrespected. This is the beginning of this whole diabolical disorientation where everything went upside down, so that the rebel was the hero and or the heroine, or you know, the radical feminism, all this stuff. I don't have to go into, but I just, so I had to go back. I had to pull out, you know, how we were formed, and this is apart from the church, but it's related to the church, because everything was tied together, because we had a moral foundation. We were building on the same foundation. Today we're not. That's the problem. And so even as a Boy Scout, you know, what was the oath or the promise? On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. That was the Boy Scout oath or promise, you know? And there was a time when that was an honorable thing. My father was the chief of the Scouts. My mother was a den mother. You know, we were Cub Scouts. They were part of our upbringing. When I think of the formation we had,
family involved.
Sure, and all the families were.
Right.
You know, But so duty to God and country, duty to other people, and duty to self. And I could go into that. We're running out of time. But so a scout is, you remember these things. Mm-hmm. We had to learn these. We had to memorize these. We had to live them. We had to even, you know, earn points to show that we were fulfilling these things. That we, as a scout, you had to be trustworthy. You had to be loyal. You had to be helpful. You had to be friendly. You had to be courteous. You had to be kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Wow!
I mean, that was you. That was drilled into you, and you had to.
Yeah,
you had
that's
to.
Funny.
You had
I,
to...
I, yeah, I can see people laughing
today.
Now,
sure,
because none of that applies.
And it's interesting.
And it's so truthful.
It's interesting that it starts with God, then sure. And then the self is last. Now it's the opposite.
Just the opposite.
It's the opposite.
What was the motto? Be prepared.
Be prepared.
Mm-hmm. What was the slogan? Do a good turn daily. Do a good turn daily. The outward code. As an American, I would do my best to be clean in my outdoor manners, be careful with fire. Of course, we were, you know, in the woods and camping
fire.
And all that.
Fire.
Be considerate in the outdoors and be conservation-minded. That's probably maybe the newer ones that they've added. Yeah. But the point is that, you know, this was a societal formation that happened. And it wasn't just in scouts. It was in sports. You know, I think of my father was also, he coached baseball. And families were involved, parents were involved, everybody was there. We'd go to a ball game, and everybody was there. Today, you know, that's not the case. You know, it's a radically different world. You know, and I don't know how this is going to change. I don't know. I mean, we have to go back to the basics, go back to God, build on the foundation of God's life. Now, what God, because this is, we have to say this. When we say God, we have to say what we mean by God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. So we're talking about a Judeo-Christian worldview. If it's not a Judeo-Christian worldview, it's not that there's not virtue. There's virtue in all religion. But our nation was built on Judeo-Christian worldview. And, you know, again, for the sake of political correctness, you know, government, education, I mean, what's going on, I call these nefarious forces, insidious. There is a concerted effort to revision history, undo what was done, and as you said, you know, what does that leave us with? What have we made of ourselves? Mm-hmm. I'll go back to that reading. Where
it's
is it?
Beautiful reading.
Absolutely, the prophet Jeremiah, and even to use the word curse is but it's because we do it to ourselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you know who sends somebody? God's not going to send anybody to hell. We do it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If we create in our nation a place, and we're moving so mm-hmm. rapidly in that direction. Because it's all we're swimming in a sea of egos. My rights. I can't stand that.
Yeah.
I cannot stand that. It sickens me when I keep hearing that, and it's just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our faith is about sacrificial love. I go back to what my father said. You know, I've said this before, and I just God rest his soul. But there were eight of us, and have we been perfect? No, but he would line us up as kids, as children. From the oldest to the youngest, you know, Lillian and myself, and then you know, so it's Lillian, Tony, Mary, Karen, James, Cindy, Timothy, and Kathy. Okay, we'd line up like you know, we were just all born within 10 years, and he would say so often, "Listen, wherever you go, whatever you do, people see you. They see me, and they see your mother, and they see your brothers and sisters. So whatever you do." Is going to have an impact. It's going to give an impression about who we are as a family. And that stays with me. That stuck with me. Even as I translate that into the church, I am another Christ. We all are by virtue of baptism. So first and foremost, imperfect as I am, sinful as I am, I have to be conscious of the fact that I represent Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to create sacrilege or and I do. But because we are sinners, we're broken people, we're weak people, we're sinful people. We have to. This is the whole Lent. Repent.
Exactly.
You know, every day we've got to repent.
And the thing is, too, not only are you a father, but even fathers with children. Yes, at the head of your household, you should be in the form of Christ. As a single parent, or as a single man, a single woman. You know, whatever you do in life,
everybody,
that example's what needs to happen.
But this was understood, you know, that it's not about me. It's about us. And it's about, I live my life so as to help you safeguard, so that we can basically live in some semblance of peace. There's got to be some order in society. We've got to safeguard our future. Mm-hmm. You know, we had this sense of what the future, you know, think beyond yourself, think beyond your time. Huh? And we don't do that anymore.
And fear of God.
Fear of God, respect, which is respect for God. Respect.
Love for God.
You know, we don't want to offend God.
Yes.
So it's all the baptized. We represent each other. Mm-hmm. And it's not about us, it's about we. And okay, so that means I can't just do my thing. The natural inclination is to want to do my thing, to give free rein to the flesh. And when I say flesh, it's not just about sex, but it's about all kinds of things.
Egos, whatever.
Right. Yeah. But I have to make, this is what is the essence of Christian love. It's sacrificial love. Jesus lays down his life. He says, "There's no better friend than that you lay down your life for another." And this is what we're called to do. So it's a sacrificial love. So it's just forget yourself, and forget you know your rights or our rights. Yes, of course. But this is where. Collectively speaking, we carry each other through and we help each other on the way. But if we're swimming in a sea of egos, what we do is we're drowning each other. Mm-hmm. We're drowning each other. We're not building each other up. I mean, you go to war, and we have to fight. You got to fight. We're in a spirit. The bottom line is that this is a spiritual battle.
Right.
It's a spiritual combat. We're in spiritual war. And the only way we're going to survive, as that reading said, you know, blessed the man. So it's cursed those who trust in human beings, who seek the strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. They're like barren bushes in the desert that enjoy no change of season, but they stand in a lava waste and assault an empty earth. But blessed those who trust in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. They're like a tree planted beside waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. They fear not the heat when it comes. It leaves, its leaves stay green. We have to fight the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
We claim the victory. And he says, I, the Lord, alone probe the mind and test the heart. We're trying to figure this out. God knows what's going on. And I reward everyone according to his ways, according to the merit of his deeds. And with that, we bring an end to the show. I thank all of you for being with us. We pray for those who have been victimized in Florida and in the streets of our city, that the poor officer, I mean, this dignified, noble, he gave his life, you know, his poor family. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Joe.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.